This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the show today, we have an interview that had scheduled for Friday, but our live conversation and performance went longer than planned, and we enjoyed it sufficiently that we decided to reschedule this for today, since the event it refers to is tomorrow night. So as you eventually listen to this interview, keep in mind it was recorded last week, and a couple of times I think I do say next Tuesday, but in fact it means tomorrow, the 23rd. And I'm talking about the Orchid Ensemble, which is a group from Vancouver, Canada, that blends traditional Chinese, Taiwanese, and music, and some Canadian music and many other traditions into one trio of traditional and less traditional instruments, depending on the tradition. And then in the later portion of the show, we'll talk with J. Scott Ferguson, who is the conductor of the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir, which is just back from its multi-state tour. They're giving their post-tour concert, their home concert, tomorrow night in Bloomington. And we'll hear some of their music as well, including this performance from the tour of Richard Deering's Quem Vidistis Pastores here on Live and Local. For this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9, my guest is Jonathan Bernard, who is the marimbist and percussionist in a very interesting group called the Orchid Ensemble, which is based in Vancouver, Canada. They're going to be on the campus of Illinois State University Tuesday night in the Kemp Recital Hall. They're as part of the New Music Festival performing on Tuesday at 7 in the evening. And Jonathan is in Vancouver as we're having this conversation, and I appreciate your joining us on the phone.
My great pleasure.
So tell me about the name, first off, Orchid Ensemble.
Well, this group used to be made up of three lovely Chinese ladies before this one Canadian guy joined along. So it made sense, with a flower image. Obviously, the orchid, too, kind of reflects a bit of mystery, and so your listeners will hear also from the music that it's straight up beauty, but there's also a lot of maybe you might call it intellectualism or mystery or exploring different areas, other areas.
And so how did this not very female, not very Chinese not very traditional instrumentalist get into this group?
Well, when I first met up with Len here, here in Vancouver, we were hired by a Korean kayagum player and composer. Kayagum, by the way, is the Korean version of the jung, which is the other, well, we have arhu, which is the two-string Chinese violin, what the leader Lan plays.
Lan
Tong. And the other Chinese instrument is called the jung, or sometimes called gu jung. Gu just meaning old or ancient. And this is a parent instrument to the zither family all over Asia, so like the Japanese koto came from the jung, and the Korean kayagum came from jung also. So where was I? Yeah. We were hired by this composer to play together, and at that point too I was very, very inspired, being somewhat new here in Vancouver and seeing a lot of the mixing of Asian instruments and instrumentalists with Western instruments in kind of the context of contemporary chamber music. And so, as I said, I was very inspired by this. And the Yang Qin player in Lan's group, back when it was the three lovely Chinese ladies, decided to quit. And she wanted to become a real estate agent. And so it was quite natural, actually, that the Yang Qin, being the hammer dulcimer in China, which came from the Persian santur over the Silk Road, it was quite natural for me to just basically transfer those parts onto marimba at the start. And so that's what we did, you know. So we went from hammered strings to hammered wood.
And what was your background leading up to this experience?
My background is totally in, you know, Western orchestral percussion, but I'd always been kind of a devotee of contemporary music and always loved working with living composers and my friends and, you know, creating new works and bringing them to life. But also as a percussionist, of course, as you know, our kind of battery of instruments really come from the exotic lands, quote unquote. You know, composers like Debussy started a long line of interest in, Javanese, Balinese music. And so, of course, a lot of the beautiful gongs and metal instruments all came from Asia to begin with, right? So it's, for me, you know, diving into Asian music just as purely on a level of just pure interest and curiosity kind of put me in the situation where I was meeting a lot of, as we go back to the last point now, was meeting a lot of Asian instrumentalists and composers who were writing for this, and I was just, you know, just out of really, it was just kind of a for fun thing then. In the end, it's turned into this, you know, almost full-time touring ensemble.
Well, let's listen to a little of the group before we talk more about how you go about assembling the music or commissioning music. I mean, I understand you come at your music from different ways, and
yep.
the mix of traditional and not.
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, whichever you suggest here. I mean, want to go with the first cut on your CD? This is a CD called The Road to Kashgar.
Yep.
Called The Winged Horses of Heaven. Do you want to at least give an introduction to that title?
So this whole CD really comes from the inspiration of the very fascinating part of China, the northwest part of China called Xinjiang Province, where Kashgar is the major it's literally an oasis. So, and it's also a crossroads of the many routes that make up the Silk Road. It's not just one route, of course. And Kashgar was the meeting point of some of these routes in Western China. And interestingly, right before, you know, travelers would either come out of the Taklamakan Desert if they were going west, or about to basically risk their lives by traveling through the Taklamakan Desert going into China. And so that was the inspiration by this whole CD, and we commissioned these three works. Commissioned these three works by Moshe Denberg, and this first one being, lands on the line now. First one being the Winged Horses of Heaven. Interesting, something for your listeners to check into here is this whole beast. This whole piece is based on a 9-beat cycle. And it's sometimes presented as kind of a galloping 3-3-3, but he throws in this other 9, which is divided 2-2-2-3, which is basically a dance rhythm found a lot in different Arabic lands. I think it comes from Turkey, called Karşılama. So this kind of gives it its flavor.
And is performed here by the Orchid Ensemble, which will be performing in our area next Tuesday evening in Normal, in the Illinois State University campus at Kemp Recital Hall, part of their new music festival there, 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. And we're talking with the marimbist and percussionist of the group, Jonathan Bernard, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. A tune called The Winged Horses of Heaven by Moshe, again, the last name?
Denberg.
There we go.
Denberg.
Yeah. Performed here by the Orchid Ensemble on Live and Local. Jonathan Bernard is my guest, along with Lan Tung, who is the arhu player, also plays percussion and vocalist with the group, and Mei Han. Am I saying her name right?
No, Mei is a past member.
Oh, she is.
Yep, and now with us is Haichong Deng.
But Mei would be what we just heard on that CD.
Yeah, you heard Mei, certainly.
On the Zheng, which is, by the way, spelled Zheng, and also plays other percussion instruments. I'm looking at a picture of this instrument. It's really kind of fascinating. Perhaps one of you can give a better description than I would manage of what this instrument actually is. You sort of gave an overview, Jonathan, earlier, but maybe physically.
Well, this instrument is pretty long. Some people have seen koto, so this looks like a koto. Actually, koto came from the zhen. It sounds like a harp, but it has 21 strings, and each string has each string supported by a movable bridge underneath, and you can tune the instrument by moving the bridges. And if it sits on a pair of stands, so when you're sitting on play, it goes right across in front of you. Can fit on a low table.
So do you play it with hammers or sticks of some kind?
No, just fingers.
Oh, just with the fingers?
Yeah, both hands.
And in this picture, she's holding it on its end, and it's taller than she is, it looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, if you stand it up, like, of course, when you play, then you put a horizontal and put a low.
Yeah, so a big instrument. Not quite as big as the marimba, though. Jonathan, for those who aren't terribly familiar with it, it's certainly one of the several keyboard instruments available to percussionists. It's the largest one generally, though, isn't it?
That's right.
And wooden keys.
Yeah, traditionally rosewood. Just a little more about the zheng. When the listeners are having a listen to it, you know, they'll hear that on the right side of the bridge that Lan was mentioning is where the string is plucked. And on the left side of the bridge, the player is able to push the string down to get all kinds of, you know, microtonal inflections. So you'll hear the pitch bend in the recordings, and that's how that's executed.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the mix of styles. I was reading the biographical material from your website, and the major emphasis is really on I don't even know if hybridization is the right word or not, but the encounter of and the interactions between Eastern and Western music and newer and more traditional music, both of style of music itself, but also even as much as types of scale and types of musical intervals and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to start dealing with that?
There's many different elements here. Like, you know, obviously we're rooted, like Lan said, in the Chinese tradition, and a lot of the material we present is very ancient and very traditional. So we like to present that, and obviously it's a large part of what we do. And we like to present that to communities all over North America, large and small. Many have not had a chance to be close to these instruments and hear them, and, you know, obviously they're gorgeous instruments. But we're also, you know, devoted to contemporary music as well, so it's very interesting to, you know, see it on different levels. So, for example, you have these Chinese instrumentalists coming from China. Lan came from Taiwan 16 years ago. Haichong's been in Florida, I think, for, I don't know, 8 or 10 years. So, well, what are these instrumentalists doing here in North America? You know, how is this ancient tradition playing itself out here in, you know, our kind of intercultural, multicultural society? And so, you know, it ends up being quite a mix of, you know, the very ancient and the very contemporary.
Well, Lan just mentioned specifically some of the different types of music that are prevalent in Vancouver.
Well, of course, this has everything to do with our personal experiences, musicians, and in our own cultural environment here in Vancouver. Maybe your listeners probably know from watching the TV last month that we have this incredibly diverse society here. It's classic Pacific Rim culture. We have, you know, so many different Asian traditions and nationalities represented here. And there's just a real spirit of openness and curiosity and mutual respect, which basically just leads to a lot of collaborations. And, you know, people just hang out and, oh, you know, what can we create? Or, you know, how does this instrument and that instrument sound together? Or, wow, your instrument's really cool, let's play. And so there's this whole genre of new intercultural music being developed. And, you know, I say we're kind of one of the groups who's been doing this for for a long time.
Well, I liked in the press material that I was sent, Lan is actually talking here about the difference, the important factor in these collaborations is less the instruments themselves than the specific players. And Lan, you mentioned an encounter with, for example, an Indian musician during a jam session where you traded instruments and suddenly you each still sounded like you were playing your own traditional sound, but on the other guy's instrument.
Yeah, because, for example, the violin, a Western violin sounds so differently played by different players from different traditions. So I think really a lot of characters of the music is not just on the instruments, from the player as well. So if you're open to learn a different styles, then you can get a wider range of your expression.
The arhu is an instrument that has shown up. It's an instrument that the sound of which I think most listeners will recognize, even if they don't know the name of that instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it shows up in films and all over the place.
Yeah.
What other kinds of styles have you sort of fit it into?
Jazz, gypsy, flamenco, free improv, like contemporary music. Even we had the gamelan style pieces. What else?
Well, Len.
Rock, rock and roll.
Len has also studied with Kala Ramnath extensively in India, mm-hmm. and also with Dr. Gamil in Cairo, learning the Arabic maqam.
Hmm. What is that instrument?
Oh, no, Dr. Gamil plays violin, but Lan, well, he plays oud and violin, but Lan was playing arhu.
But maqam, what is that?
Oh, sorry, maqam just refers to mode.
Oh, I see, okay.
Or scale in the Arabic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Egypt, it's basically refers to mode.
Let's hear another example from this CD. You have more than one CD available if somebody wants to explore that, right?
That's right. And even if they can't make it to the show, they can always go to our website, orchidensemble.com.
And so we should remind listeners that we are, in fact, talking with two of the three members of Orchid Ensemble. Jonathan Bernard plays marimba and other percussion, Lan Tung, the arhu, percussion and vocals. And remind me again the name of the third person, which I need to write down because it's different than the person on the CD.
It's Hai Chong, which is spelled H-A-I-Q-I-O-N-G.
Q-I-O-N-G, pronounced more or less Chung.
Hai Chong.
And she plays the zheng and percussion as well. And this is from their CD called The Road to Kashgar. Should we maybe hear...
Well, since we're talking about maqam...
Yeah.
You know, why not play that
piece called maqam?
You're going to listen to the two dance sections, I believe. One in straight 2/4 time and then the final section in 5/8.
Yeah, okay. It's the Orchid Ensemble here on Live and Local. They'll be playing in Normal next Tuesday evening. Music from or performed by the Orchid Ensemble from their disc called Road to Kashgar, and it's from a tune called Maqam, which is a style of music, I guess you said, or a scale of music, type of scale, and this is the dance portion of a prelude and dance from that CD. Jonathan Bernard and Lan Tung are my guests here on Live and Local. And Orchid Ensemble will be participating in the Illinois State University New Music Festival next week. They're performing in Kemp Recital Hall Tuesday night at 7 o'clock and will be on campus participating in rehearsals. And also, are you giving any kinds of workshops or other interactive?
In this case, there's going to be a pre-concert talk.
Okay. And when you go on the tours, you said you're virtually a full-time ensemble at this point. Does it tend to be in a lot of different settings? So, I mean, this one is a new music festival, but you'll encounter whether it's Indian people or any musicians or jazz or whatever. I mean, deliberately go into different settings?
No, we're very fortunate that, we've probably got a sense across to your listeners now, well, that a lot of the music we present here really crosses a variety of different genre boundaries. You know, we present traditional music, we also improvise, we do, you know, what might be called world music, we also do contemporary music. So, you know, a tour could be, you know, a mix of contemporary music venue, you know, a folky type venue, or a chamber music society, you know, or lectures and school shows. And so I really think if there's any musicians out there, here's a little hint, you know, make yourself as, accessible to a wider variety of audiences as possible, and certainly help one's filling dates.
Yeah, and helps with your booking.
And, you know, again, this wasn't really intentional. It just turned out that way because I guess that's just who we are, you know. Essentially, we're classical musicians, very interested in different traditional musics.
So your concert in Normal will, I imagine, run the gamut of everything we're talking about.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it'll be a little taste of all aspects. I mean, there's going to be some, you know, a piece by Barry Truax, for example, who's a very well-known electroacoustic composer. And his, you know, so this will be with electroacoustic element. And it's quite a dense, kind of thick soundtrack that we're playing along to. And, you know, there's also pieces that are, you know, one or two pieces that are a little more on the atonal side and more chromatic. And some are more modal and, you know, some are more lyrical. And so, yes, running the gamut is a good way of putting it.
Well, why don't we sort of wrap up here with something that is very traditional sounding.
Yeah.
You're just calling it a villager's dance here. Does this have a credited composer?
I believe it does. It's a standard, actually, Jung solo based on a certain regional style, I believe. And we basically composed our own percussion parts to accompany it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you were able to join us, and I'm sure listeners will look forward to your recital. Again, it's the Orchid Ensemble, Tuesday night, the 23rd, at 7 o'clock in Kemp Recital Hall on the Illinois State University campus in Normal. And my guests on Live and Local this portion of the show have been Jonathan Bernard, plays marimba and other percussion, and Lan Tung, who plays the arhu percussion and vocalist as well. And this is from their disc, Road to Kashgar. It's a villager's dance, and for more information, you can go to orchidensemble.com. And I really appreciate your joining us on the program.
It's our great pleasure. Thank you.
A set of tunes, Villager's Dance, based on the folk melodies from Shandong Province in northeastern China. Billed here as one of the first contemporary compositions for the solo Zheng, which you heard described by Jonathan Bernard and Lan Tung of the Orchid Ensemble, who performed here the composition by Li Zuji. And I want to correct something that I mentioned repeatedly in that performance because I had erroneous information. Their performance tonight, tomorrow night, at Kemp Recital Hall on the Illinois State University campus in Normal actually begins at 8 o'clock with the pre-concert talk at 7:20. And other performances in the New Music Ensemble, New Music Festival at ISU are tonight at the same times, a 7:20 pre-concert talk and an 8 o'clock concert with Bill Kohler on bass and Manpreet Bedi, who is a tabla player. They call themselves the Vandana Duo together. That's tonight, also at Kemp Recital Hall. And then Wednesday night in the same location, Wednesday at 11 in the morning in the same location, a quartet reading session with ISU composition students featuring Kyai Hui Tan and ISU faculty, and then she is giving a concert at 8 o'clock Wednesday night of unaccompanied violin works by Asian and Australian composers. And then what appears to be the final concert in the Illinois State University New Music Festival is Thursday night at 8 o'clock, featuring ISU faculty and friends showcasing new music, also from Asia, with the saxophonist as special guest Masahito Sugihara. And I'll have more of a calendar at the end of the show, as I have time. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll have a conversation with Scott Ferguson of the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir, who just got back from their tour. Our broadcast today on Live and Local is made possible with support from these business partners: Birch Tree Counseling and Consulting of Champaign, Cannon Farm of Camargo, Carpet Weavers of Champaign, and Dick's Pharmacy of Arthur. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you.
Hi, this is Masumi Rostad of the Pacifica String Quartet. Please join WILL 40 North, Krannert, and me for the new Docha Chamber Music Festival. We are playing at Radio Maria, Cakes on Walnut, and Jim Gould's in downtown Champaign, April 1st to 3rd. Docha will feature great music from some of our town's finest musicians, including Stefan Milankovic, Dmitry Kuzov, Rudolf Hawken, and my group, the Pacifica Quartet. Admission is free. For more information, visit docha.org.
My guest on this portion of Live and Local on FM 90.9 is Scott Ferguson, J. Scott Ferguson, as he lists himself, who is the Director of Choral Activities at Illinois Wesleyan University and conductor of its university, of its collegiate choir, which just got back from a tour of, you were quite a number of places. First
yes,
of all,
indeed.
I'm glad you made it back. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Scott was on the show just before they went off on the tour, and I promised we'd have a conversation to see how it went, and here's some recordings of some of what they did on that tour. So where all did you go?
Well, we had a nice circle to the southern states. We started in Columbia, Missouri, then to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and two concerts in Texas, in Dallas and Houston, and had a concert in New Orleans and a free day there, and then on to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Memphis, Tennessee, and ended up in Kirkwood, Missouri.
Those are some pretty good hops around. How did you end up at these particular places?
Well, we have a student, a senior, who is from Austin, and for the past two or three years, she's been asking me if we could get to Texas, and this year it worked out. We didn't get to her home, but her family drove up to the Dallas concert. And I love New Orleans, and it just seemed to be a nice way of making a big circle around. And we had a request for a concert in Kirkwood, and it just worked out very well.
Did you know about specific venues, or did you have various contacts in these places?
Yes, in some places I didn't, and it was a challenge in a few places because it's during spring break there and these places, and that's always a challenge for churches to host during spring break. Audiences were a little smaller than they might otherwise have been, and they're afraid of finding enough host homes, etc., but everything worked out very well, and they're very appreciative audiences, even if they're in a couple places a little bit smaller.
I remember when we talked before, I asked about the value of touring for a group, at least I think I did.
Yes.
And what do you think the kids, I mean, how do you think the students responded as you were going along?
Beautifully. We have an awful lot of fun on the tour, on the bus, and in concerts, and we keep refining every day. We have a good half hour, 45 minute rehearsal before each concert, and they refined the music beautifully. Every concert was better and better, and they did the best job, frankly, on the last concert. They sounded just as fresh in the last concert as they did in the first, and the music was much more refined, more communicative. They felt freer with the music. They were able to get out of the learning process, get past the learning process, and really express and communicate the meaning of the text and the music beautifully.
And if they did the best so far at last night's concert, we should say, and we'll mention it again, that they're giving their return home concert tomorrow night in Bloomington.
Yes.
So that should probably be the best of all.
We will hope so, yes. And we are very delighted to have our commission composer, Sidney Guillaume, with us. He'll be arriving tonight, and we're doing two pieces of his. One that he's Tuatambu, that's making the circles around the college circuit and festival circuit. It's becoming a real favorite. And the new piece he wrote, Ego Sum, for us this year. So we're delighted to have him, and I know that the choir will be excited to meet him, and there'll be some special energy in the performance, I'm sure.
Was the Toi Tan Bu, was that commissioned for you earlier, or was that just another piece of his?
No, a different piece of his, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they haven't had any encounter with him so far?
Not yet. We've sent him every night's recording, though, and it's been a real delight. It's the first time this has ever happened, that we were able to speak with the composer after performance, and we made little changes as we went along. So it's a work in progress.
That's one of the wonders of electronic media.
That's
now.
Right. Yes.
You can just do a quick digital recording, send it off by
that's
email.
Right.
And of course, that's what you did for me. We have, we can choose here from six different performances. We can't get them all in the program, unfortunately.
Well, I tried to send a few of the shorter pieces.
What do you think might be a reasonable first representation if people are just hearing the choir for the first time, and particularly if we'd like to encourage them to come tomorrow night in Bloomington?
Oh, boy. They're all fantastic.
It's a toughie, isn't it?
That's really hard to say. The Hinaster Lamentations of Jeremiah is a powerful work. That first movement is extremely powerful. The Mary Hines is nice and playful. The Orlando Gibbons, Drop, Drop, Slow Tears, is a very lyrical, simple composition, but extraordinarily beautiful. They're all gorgeous. I would hate to have to pick.
Well, since we're just about at Samuel Barber's 100th birthday, which is right around now, I think it might have been, I'm forgetting now, it's within a week, either way, of I think where we are right now. Shall we play your performance of Mary Hines?
Sure.
This is from his set of three choral pieces called Reincarnations. Barber was born in 1910, died in 1981. And this is the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir, led by J. Scott Ferguson. Which performance are we hearing? Do you have any idea?
This is from the 20th. This is from Kirkwood.
Just last...
Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and it's the choir just back on tour. You're listening to them here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was music by Samuel Barber. Mary Hines, the first of three choral pieces under the collection Reincarnations, performed by the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir, led by Scott Ferguson, just back from their multi-state tour. They wrapped it up on Saturday, and they're giving their home concert tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Second Presbyterian Church on Northeast Street in Bloomington. Scott's my guest on this portion of Live and Local. That's a really nice sound that your choir gets.
Thank you very much.
And that's a tricky text to get out too. I mean, just in case. I was listening. And I know what the words are, and I'm thinking, man, that was sort of nasty of Barbara to write.
Yeah.
She is a rune.
A rune.
What does that mean anyway? I always wondered it when I sang it.
A puzzle
before.
Or something, an enigma.
And is Mary Hines a character in?
No, I don't know.
The reincarnations. What does that refer to? The title.
Well, the texts all deal with death. So, and when we consider when the person sees the lover airily, it's a vision. The person is gone. Anthony O'Daly died, and the Coolin, the person longs for the loved one to stay with him. Stay with me, just one more time, a little more time. We'll walk and drink wine and enjoy each other. So the Mary Hines is a little bit more confusing because it's hard to tell if that person is here or not. But the airily last line suggests that perhaps it's a ghostly vision the person is seeing.
And, of course, the overall title of Reincarnation certainly suggests one way or the other.
Right.
And you'll be doing all three of those on the concert tomorrow night. And Anthony O'Daly is particularly powerful.
Very powerful.
There, it's very clear that he has died and that people are mourning that. Well, it's a really interesting program you put together. The first portion of it, first four pieces, are Renaissance tunes. And then the Sidney Guillaume pieces. Is he somebody that you knew already? How did you decide to commission from him?
Well, we sang his Kalinda, which is a wonderful composition of the Haitian Creole culture, and I was looking for the commissioned composer for this year, and I remember how much fun we had with it, and I asked him then if he would be willing to write a piece for us of that nature, and I sent him some recordings of the choir, and based on what he heard, he thought that he would like to try a more lyrical composition, and Ego Sum is the product.
But why don't we sort of have a contrast here, because you mentioned the Haitian Creole. You have one of his, Trois Tambours, that isn't in Haitian Creole, which is what you had in mind when you asked him for a commission.
That sort of composition, yes.
So let's hear that, and then we'll hear at least as much as we can of the new piece and leave the rest as a teaser and, you know, sort of the contrast in one composer's style.
Great.
That sound reasonable?
Absolutely.
And does this come from also a Saturday night's performance?
Believe this Trois Tambours is from the 19th.
And that was
from Memphis.
In Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah. You guys really did make the rounds.
Yeah. The Ego Sum is from Kirkwood.
From Kirkwood, Missouri. Okay, well, we'll start with the one. This is Trois Tambours sung in Haitian Creole. Is he?
He's from Haiti, yes.
From Haiti?
Yes. He moved here when he was about 10, I believe, and went to school in Florida, and he's now living in California and composing.
So that's a direct connection, then, obviously. Sidney Guillaume, Trois Tambours, which means what?
Three drums.
Three drums, sung by the Illinois Wesleyan Collegiate Choir, Scott Ferguson, my guest, and the conductor, as they have returned from their tour, hearing them on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. Trois tambours, a piece sung in Haitian Creole, means three drums, says Scott Ferguson. The music is by Sidney Guillaume, who was born 1982, so he's a young fellow, relatively speaking. And that was the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir. Scott Ferguson, my guest on this portion of Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. So when they come back from tour, do they tend to get really geared up for the final concert?
Oh, yes, yes. This is our for our hometown crowd, of course, our relatives and students. So it's a lot of fun.
And you do this, you do a tour every year, if I remember
yes,
right?
Yes, correct.
Do you ever take overseas tours?
Yes, we do. Every 4 years we tour. We started in 2000, going to Italy. In 2004 we went to the Baltic countries and Russia. And then 2008 we went to Spain. And our next regularly scheduled tour will be to Germany in 2012. And we've been invited to sing in Cuba next December for 6 days. And that will be depending upon funding, of course. But our regularly scheduled tour will be 2012.
Wow, that's nice to be in such demand.
Yes, it's very nice.
That's a credit to your program.
Thank you.
Well, let's go out with this new work by Sidney Guillaume, Ego Sum, which means, and actually you're singing it in French, but the,
yes,
the
well,
text
Ego Sum,
refers to...
Yes, Ego Sum, I am. It's a conversation between man and God, and God says, I am this, I am that, I am love, I am the heart, I am the friendship, I am friendship, I am life, I am the cradle, I am death. And man says, I am just a man. But at the very end, he thanks God because of God's grace and creative urge, as it were, he created. So I created man. So man says, I am all of these things because you created me.
All right. Music by Sidney Guillaume, Ego Sum. Sung again by the Illinois Wesleyan University Collegiate Choir, which gives its home concert back from tour tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Second Presbyterian Church in Bloomington, Illinois. And Scott Ferguson, my guest on Live and Local. Thanks, Scott, for joining us, and congratulations on a successful tour, and hope you have a really fine concert tomorrow night.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.